Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM.
With Lowe's. Minimum purchase required. Selection varies by location. U.S. only.
Coming up on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM, we will check in live in Tampa as preparations continue for the Outback Bowl for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And we'll talk with Tom Cakert coming up here in just a little bit. Also, Dave Koken from Las Vegas with one eye on the Independence Bowl. And we will talk bowl predictions with Dave coming up here in just a little bit. It is a Thursday edition of the Gym Class coming your way through the 3 o'clock hour here on KGYM. And welcome in to our studios here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. 1600 AM, the historic main gym. 107.5 FM, the north gym in Cedar Rapids. And the south gym, 106.3 FM in Iowa City. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today on this December the 27th. As we continue to get ready for bowl action, we're just a little bit over 24 hours away from the Alamo Bowl. Iowa State taking on Washington State, and pep rally just ended in San Antonio down at the convention center. I believe that's where it took place as Iowa State presented a product to the Alamo Bowl director.
Gee, let me guess.
No. And proceeded to drink in a peculiar way said product. So they're getting ready down in San Antonio. We will check in with Rob Gray tomorrow from CycloneFanatic.com. He's going to be live in San Antonio as we get ready for Alamo Bowl action. A reminder, tomorrow we've got Iowa State, Washington State coming your way. 6 o'clock with the pregame on 1600 AM for you. And then at 7 o'clock, 107.5 and 106.3 FM will join up with our coverage of Cyclone football. We'll have it on all three signals coming your way tomorrow night. Tonight, it is more bowl action. Hey, can we do better than the Cheez-It Bowl last night? You're darn right we can do it a little bit better. I can't promise you 9 interceptions coming up tonight in the Texas Bowl, but it will be the Baylor Bears taking on Vanderbilt and the Commodores in the Texas Bowl. We'll have it for you tonight beginning at 7 o'clock with the pregame on all three frequencies, 1600 AM, 107.5, 106.3 FM. We're inching our way closer to the Pinstripe Bowl. Wisconsin in action as the Big Ten tries to go to 2-0. It'll be the Badgers and the Miami Hurricanes coming up from Yankee Stadium. I am not seeing the weather, but it's probably a whole lot better than it was last year. I will check that out for you coming up here in just a little bit. We are presented by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids, the terrific sponsor that we have. Tell them Scott, Mark, Kyle, everybody at KGYM sent you. Stop in Third Base for a holiday treat. It's a perfect place to gather when you got some time away from the grind. Conveniently located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue, they are locally owned and operated. Did you watch all the Cheez-It Bowl, listen to the Cheez-It Bowl last night?
I can't say I paid attention to it from start to finish. All I know is that TCU's got kicking problems, even though it won with a kick.
Quarterback problems, too.
Quarterback problems as well. But Minnesota was really good yesterday against Georgia Tech, winning 34-10. And Ibrahim, the running back, rushing for over 200 yards. And it reminded me of Iowa's victory over Georgia Tech in the 2010 Orange Bowl, when Iowa really clamped down on Georgia Tech's option offense. As did Minnesota last night. That was a really good win for the Gophers. A lot of young players.
I was just going to say, a lot of young players for P.J. Fleck. And I got to think Minnesota's going to be a player next year in the Big Ten West. Have to be now, as far as P.J. Fleck is concerned. But he's brought in some decent talent. Like you said, a lot of youngsters for the Gophers. Mm-hmm. And when Georgia Tech gets behind, they are a different football team. When you don't see teams run the option anymore. It's basically Army, Navy, Georgia Southern, and Georgia Tech are the four teams that run option football. Isn't it amazing? And they made a great point of this. 40 years ago, it was the other way around. Yeah. Everybody ran the triple option. If you didn't, you were a rarity. And how things have changed. Goes in cycles.
Remember the wishbone?
Oh, yeah. Oklahoma ran the wishbone. Ran it really, really well, too. What's J.C. Watts and
Billy Sims.
Billy Sims. Mm-hmm. You saw some of those teams.
I did indeed.
I saw them on TV. You saw them live. Mm-hmm. 319-366-1600. That is the Hurtina Stocker Jewelers text line. Always open, always available to you out there during local programming. 319-366-1600. Hurtina Stocker Jewelers, located on the Penn Mall in downtown Iowa City.
As far as Iowa State and its fans goes, I really want to congratulate that fan base. Each of the last 2 years, Memphis last year, San Antonio this year, just turning out in droves. And I think it's representative of, a very strong fan base, and the fact that its fans have been starved for a while in terms of going to bowl games. And I don't mean this in any way to throw out an Iowa-Iowa State comparison, but I recall, when I was covering Iowa football in the early 80s, and Iowa broke through in 81 to go to the 82 Rose Bowl. I look back, the reports were 40,000 Iowans went to Pasadena. And the all Iowa bash, which I attended, there was like 20,000 Iowa fans there. And concession areas had to be shut off before the thing even started because they ran out of liquor. Very reminiscent of what's going on last year in Memphis and this year in San Antonio. And again, I'm no comparison by any. It's just what it reminds me of.
It does. It does. And it's going to be an Iowa State home game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The more and more you look at it, the more and more you read about it. Eyewitness reports from down in San Antonio. And again, we'll talk with Rob Gray of Cyclone Fanatic coming up tomorrow. And looking forward to that as we get ready to kick it off tomorrow just past 8 o'clock down at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio. Oh, by the way, the lead architect for the firm that drew up plans for the Alamo Dome, Iowa State grad.
Ah.
I read that this week.
Impressive.
Everything is pointing toward the Cyclones in this game, you got to think.
Unless you talk to Mike Leach, and he'll be on the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn at 4:30 today. The head coach of Washington State, a day before the game, going to chat with Todd and Kyle.
How many coaches the day ahead of a bowl game would come on to a radio program not in their home area?
Not many.
Mike Leach will, though.
Well, Leach was on with Todd, was it a couple of years ago?
In middle of the ocean.
Middle of a body of water. Like I did way back in the day.
You were. Yeah,
I was in the Gulf of Mexico, and we were doing the show.
That's true. That is true.
That'll be a good interview. Leach, always entertaining, and I agree with you. Not many head coaches, college football head coaches, would go on a little more than 24 hours before a pretty important bowl game. But good get for the guys, and hope everybody tunes in from 4 to 7, especially at 4:30.
We're going to talk to the one and only Dave Koken coming up here in just a little bit, and then we're going to check in down in Tampa with Tom Caker to Hawkeye Report and see what's happening down Tampa way as Iowa gets ready for their Outback Bowl against Mississippi State. We'll do that in just a little bit. By the way, forecast for the Pinstripe Bowl, a balmy 43. I'm making Todd very angry.
Yeah, he was shivering as I went by with memories of the last year's Pinstripe Bowl with the open-air press boxes. And, not too bad of weather for the Pinstripe Bowl. It's not really Miami favorable, I wouldn't think.
No, but better than it was a year ago. Tomorrow, 56 degrees.
Mm.
So they missed it by a day, but still not too bad. They've gone to the end of the third quarter down in Shreveport at the Independence Bowl, and it is Duke on top of Temple, 42-27. Duke trying to get a win for the ACC, and as we mentioned, Miami and Wisconsin will then go at it in the Pinstripe
Bowl. Used to be the Poulin Weed Eater.
That is correct.
Bowl, right?
One of my favorites.
The walk-ons.
I have no idea.
I didn't realize walk-ons was a Southern chain restaurant until today, seeing some of the commercials.
You learn something new every day, don't you?
Yeah.
The only thing I remember about the Independence Bowls, Couple things. First of all, the year Alabama beat Iowa State on the kick that may have been good, may have been not good.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, it has snowed there on a couple of different occasions in Shreveport. And the third thing I remember is, I believe it was our own friend of the show, Jeff Johnson, who was covering an Independence Bowl. It may have been that Iowa State game. And said, frankly, there wasn't a lot to do in Shreveport, Louisiana. Bossier City, yes. A little bit of gambling in Bossier City. Not in Shreveport. So, yeah, we missed the Poulon Weed Eater Independence Bowl.
Because we're going to be off the air Monday and Tuesday, of course, Tuesday, Iowa plays in the Outback Bowl. We wanted to give you an opportunity to weigh in on that game, Iowa and Mississippi State. That's our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. What will the outcome of this year's Outback Bowl be? We give you four choices. Mississippi State by more than a touchdown, MSU by less than a TD, and Iowa, same two choices. Iowa wins by less than a TD. Iowa wins by more than a TD. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue, Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's. And you can also weigh in on our Hurtin & Stocker Jeweler text line, 366-1600.
Go ahead and vote. And we'll imagine we'll have the Iowa State poll coming up tomorrow as far as the Valero Alamo Bowl is concerned. By the way, Valero, a convenience store in the southern United States, although there is one in Newton.
Oh, really?
Yes. Little known fact for the good folks at Valero. They need a little love this week after everything that's gone on down in San Antonio. 3:15. We're going to talk to Tom Caker coming up in just a little bit. Talked about the Minnesota win in the bowl game last night in Detroit as the Gophers took care of Georgia Tech. Mentioned we got the Texas Bowl coming up. Your Minnesota Twins making a little news today. You have a DH now, at least for the year.
Yeah, Nelson Cruz being signed to a one-year deal. He's 38. He's got the most home runs of any major league player in the last 5 years. Have to feel good about that aspect of it. Of course, he was implicated in the 2013 Biogenesis scandal, along with A-Rod and others. Served a 40 or 50 game suspension and has gone on from there to do very good things. So I don't feel horrible about that aspect of it. He's going to be a welcome offensive addition, I would think. Hopefully he doesn't go the way of Logan Morrison last year, who the previous year had hit 30-some home runs, and Cruz hit 37 or 38 last year, and hopefully he continues in that vein. But, yeah, Joe Mauer was a DH last year. Sano was a DH. I think they hope Sano can hold down third base and have both of those guys in the lineup.
Very much so. They hope he can do that. By the way, Duke has scored again. It's 49-27 now.
On the text line, 0255 Mississippi State by two touchdowns. SEC shows off its dominance, and Kirk hasn't had a great bowl record over the last decade. 72-37, Scott. There's also a Valero on the south side of Iowa City.
There is.
By Menards.
Really?
How about that?
I'll be darned. I will have to check that out next time I am in the vicinity right there. Bowl Challenge Cup, by the way, they're showing on the tube right now. Big 10 and the Big 12 lead at 1-0. The SEC has not trotted out onto the field as of yet.
Small sample size.
It's a very small sample size, other than the MAC and the Sun Belt. They are very well represented as far as games so far. One more little tidbit before we get to a break here. Reported today, our own friend of the show, Bob Herrig. We'll have to get on here in the next couple weeks or so as we get into 2019 to preview golf. But he came out with the story today, Tiger Woods to skip next week's Tournament of Champions down at Kapalua. Sounds more and more like Tiger is reverting back to his former schedule. Last year was just a blip on the radar to get him back out there. He admitted at the end of the year the tank was empty.
Yeah, he played a lot late in the year, including the Ryder Cup, which I don't think he anticipated at the beginning of the year, and some other tournaments that probably were not on his schedule. So why fly to Hawaii and, you know, compete in that tournament and stay on the mainland until that gets started?
He'll more than likely make his debut if history repeats itself at Torrey Pines in San Diego, which is one of his personal playgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
Probably going to, like I said, he's going to go back to his old schedule. I say old because they've changed the schedule around this year. Remember, the PGA comes in May. The Players' Championship comes in March this year. There's one big event pretty much in every month starting in March.
Masters in April.
Masters will be in April, PGA in May, U.S. Open in June, British Open in July, and then the FedEx Cup playoffs in August.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it's going to play out this year. So, but he'll be pretty much at his haunts that we know Tiger will go to, and probably not too many others than that. So keep that in mind if you have that pick in the fantasy golf draft. All right, 319. We'll take a break, come back. Dave Koken will join us from Las Vegas. He's a happy guy right now because Duke is up 22 on Temple. We will discuss and get his thoughts about Iowa and Iowa State when we come back. Listening to the Gym Class right here on KGYM. May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the Gym Class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
Sports and music. Always a great combination. At the game, you have the marching band and the pep band to set the mood. But what about before and after the game? Tune to Smart FM, your own personal pep band. Smart Rock, deeper tracks, and live versions of your favorite songs from your favorite Smart Rock artists. For all the action of the game, play-by-play, or sports talk, it's KGYM. And for the Smart Rock to set the mood before and after, Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Back with you on the Gym Class for a Thursday here on KGYM. We mentioned tomorrow we're going to talk to Rob Gray live from San Antonio. We'll also have the Eagles Hideaway Pick 6 coming your way on the Friday edition of the program. Looks like Duke has scored again. A defensive touchdown. They're reviewing it as we speak down in Shreveport, but the Dukies are having their way with Temple. It's a heck of a late 1980s basketball game. Right here, Mark.
Yes, it is.
I'm looking for John Chaney on the sideline. No, not John Chaney. I'm getting my political figures and my basketball coaches mixed up here. The former Temple coach, Chaney. That's what I'm thinking of. Sorry about that, sports fans. 319-366-1600 here at 322. We got the Texas Bowl coming your way.
I think you're
tonight.
Right. Dick Chaney.
Dick Chaney.
Yeah.
John Chaney is the basketball coach.
Yeah.
I was right. Second guess myself. Why in the world am I doing that here? Yeah, we've got the Alamo Bowl coming up tomorrow, and of course the Outback Bowl coming your way on Thursday for you right here on KGYM. Talk about that and other things bowl oriented, and maybe a little National Football League as well. We welcome in Dave Koken from Las Vegas, who joins us on Thursdays here on the program at Dave Koken, his handle on Twitter. And, of course, you can visit him, smokingkoken.com. And Dave's a happy guy right now because I think the touchdown's going to hold. No, it won't. Take it away. Call reversed. It's only, what, Duke by 22 right now, Dave?
Well, this is the value of late information. This is why anybody who gambles, if they're not on Twitter, they're an idiot. Okay? It's as simple as that. I was on Temple in this football game, and about a half an hour before the game, all of a sudden, the beat writer who covers the Temple Owls announces on Twitter, Armstead is not going to play. Their best defensive back is not going to play. They're both going to be in the Senior Bowl in a couple of weeks in our pro prospects. And if that wasn't an incredible sell sign, I don't know what else is, because it clearly indicates, well, the Senior Bowl is more important than this football game is. And it's playing out that way. And, I mean, that was free money for anybody who hadn't bet the game. And for me, it was an opportunity to buy out completely of my bet. So, you know, I'll take a tenth of a unit loss. I'm fine with that. No problem.
Seems like a lot of early information. I'm sure there'll be some late as well, Dave. Today, Clemson defensive tackle Dexter Lawrence apparently tested positive for some substance. He's going to give him a B sample. But between that and suspensions, Alabama, other programs, as you said, you really need to pay attention, don't you?
Yeah, and it's why bowl season has to be treated differently than the regular season, because you just don't see stuff like this in the regular season. You can play games Sunday night, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, and really not have to worry. I mean, there's going to be an exception here and there, but for the most part, you don't have to worry about anything radical taking place between the time you place your wager and game time. But in the bowl season, I think you got to wait as long as possible, even if it means sacrificing some value. And I'm big on value, but I'll give you an example. Is the Syracuse game tomorrow with West Virginia. The more information piles in, the more it looks like Syracuse. Well, I mean, anything can happen, but they sure look like the right side. I mean, West Virginia, all indications are there's just not a lot of interest in this game on the West Virginia side, and that's not the case on the Syracuse side. And again, it can play out. You never know how it's going to play out, but it would certainly, the indications are that it's going to be a Syracuse win.
With these trends now of guys not playing, et cetera, is it making it easier? I got to think it makes it easier in bowl season than it used to be 10 years ago.
No, I don't think it's easier because you don't know what the impact is going to be on the team necessarily.
Okay.
And that's where you have to kind of read between the lines as much as possible to get as much information as you can as to how it might be impacting the team. I mean, here's another example. I think Michigan's a better team than Florida, but I'm not sure about Michigan's motivation for this game.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be missing a bunch of guys, and, you know, they're coming out of that horrific game against Ohio State. This is not the bowl game that they wanted to be in. They thought they might be in the playoffs, and instead, they're playing Florida. And to me, even though Florida is not as good as Michigan, I think Gators are the only side you can play in this game because from a motivational standpoint, it sure sounds like it's more on Florida than it is on Michigan.
I'm sure you've given a bit of a look to the Alamo Bowl tomorrow. Iowa State and Washington State certainly of interest in these parts, Dave. Iowa State flooding San Antonio with fans and very much looks to be like a home game.
Yep. I took 3.5, and I'm very happy with that bet. I expect them to win the game. This is not a good spot for Washington State on three different counts. One, the Pac-12 is now 2-14 in their last 16 bowl games. It's a bad conference.
Mm.
Secondly, Mike Leach, as good as he might be in the regular season, has about as bad a bowl track record as you could possibly find. Okay, he's just been awful in bowl games. And most importantly, does Washington State really want to be here? They were looking at worst at being in the Rose Bowl if they beat Washington in the Apple Cup game. Well, they got decisively defeated at home in that game. And now they're playing who? I don't mean this as an insult to Iowa State, because I think a lot of the program, I like their coach a lot. And in fact, I like their team a lot. But Iowa State is still not a big name program. I don't think Washington State's going to be real excited about this. I think the Cyclones and their fans are really thrilled about this, the chance for them to make a statement. And I think they're going to win this football game. I don't think you'll need the 3.5.
I tend to agree with you. I tend to agree with that. It is stunning. 2-14 for the Pac-12. I mean, that's bad.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. It ties into something. I did a little editorial on this in my blog last night. Justin Herbert,
mm-hmm.
What are you doing, man? You have got to turn pro. Okay, he's going to be one of the, he's going to be the first quarterback off the board. You don't go back to college if you're going to be the first quarterback off the board. You should have called Matt Barkley for some advice on that. Matt Barkley would have been a first-round draft choice had he come out. He didn't. Went back, had a lousy senior year, dropped in the draft. Matt Leinart, another guy who might have actually dropped a few spots in the draft by going back and also turned out to be a bust. Yeah, to me, it's a no-brainer. You absolutely turn pro. And here's what makes it even more of a bad move to me. There's a good chance he'd have ended up with the Giants. And if you end up being with the Giants and lead them to a rebirth, you have a chance to be the biggest guy in the NFL. It's New York City. Now, there's no guarantee he would have been drafted by the Giants, but the possibility was certainly there. Whoever's advising him, that's just a terrible decision on his part, in my opinion.
Take the money and run, and your stock's never going to be higher. So most are taking it.
That's because most of them are smarter than Justin Herbert. Hey, no, look, if I'm an NFL talent guy or personnel guy, I'm looking at this game going, you know, and this is what I said when Matt Leinart, it's the exact same thing I said when Matt Leinart made his decision several years ago. I want a guy who wants that next challenge. If you're going back to college when you've got nothing left to prove, I don't know, it kind of tells me you're not the guy I want to lead my football team. I'll go in another direction, thanks.
Talking with Dave Koken here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. We're getting closer and closer to the January 1st games, and that means Iowa and Mississippi State. By the way, Duke has scored again, just to keep you updated.
Dave's watching it, Scott.
I know. He's got one eye and one ear and all that sort of
nonsense. I'm not watching it. I'm driving. So.
Okay.
I can talk and drive, but I can't watch football and drive.
No.
55-27 now, Duke. They've got this thing nailed down, I think.
Yeah, I would say so.
Anything taking you one way or the other, or just thoughts about Iowa and Mississippi State?
No, not really. I mean, I think I might lean to Iowa. I tend to lean to dogs when they're getting that many points. And Iowa's, you know, look, it's a selling point for Kirk Ferentz. I hope he's doing this. To me, it's like, hey, Vegas is telling us we don't have a chance in the game. Let's go out there and show them they're wrong. I think that when you're playing in one of the later bowl games, even if it's not one of the majors, so to speak, there's incentive if you're a disregarded underdog, and the Hawkeyes kind of are in this game. So I'd be more inclined to take the points, although I do think Mississippi State's probably the better football team. But I one thing I'll say is this. You've got a way, way more experienced bull coach on the Iowa side than you do on the Mississippi State side, and that can be pretty big in these football games. That might be one where you kind of wait around and see what happens for the first half. And if it's close and maybe Iowa's down a couple of points, maybe it's time to step in on the Hawkeyes in the second half, because one would think there might be an edge in adjustments at the break for the more experienced staff.
The college football playoff game's coming up Saturday, Dave. Do you like Notre Dame?
I have the slightest idea what to do in that game.
Yeah.
I don't know how the Lawrence absence, if he's absent, is going to impact Clemson. I don't think Notre Dame is one of the best four teams in the country, but they're getting an awful lot of points. I just don't know. And that's the beauty of this. You don't have to bet on every game. Mm-hmm. And that's one where I can say with absolute certainty at this point I will not be making a bet.
Mm. And who knows with Alabama? They're going to be down a couple of players, maybe even for the national championship.
Yeah, they are, but they're really good.
Yeah.
The Sooners just don't match up well with them. I think they're going to throw some blitzes at this kid that he hasn't seen. And he is a great player. Maybe he can adjust. Not like Oklahoma's going to get shut down, but they're going to get contained. And Oklahoma can't stop anything. So I think Alabama eventually is just going to pull away.
Dave Koken often says he doesn't care how big the game is, and I think an example of that was Drake the other night. You were on him, Dave. This is a good Drake team, basketball-wise.
Yeah, I didn't really get it right. I mean, I'll take the result. But the reason I played it was that Drake is a much deeper team than I'm blanking on who they played.
Was it San Diego or?
Oh, San Diego, yeah. Yeah, San Diego. San Diego's got a nice team, but they're pretty much six deep, and that's it. And I thought, you know, both teams having played the day before, that's got to be an edge for Drake. Well, I don't know that it was, because San Diego hung in pretty well, obviously. But it ended well, and that's all I care about.
Yeah, and Drake off to a very, very good start. A couple things before we let you go here, Dave. Number one, we got Miami and Wisconsin coming up next. That at the Pinstripe Bowl, and two teams that probably don't want to be there.
Miami especially.
Which makes it really interesting.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the wrong side. I didn't play the game, and I think I might regret it. I might get involved in-game. I think Wisconsin has the edges in this game.
Do you stay away from Week 17 in the NFL when you don't know who's going to play?
Oh,
or
no.
Okay.
You know, I'm definitely playing. I think the Packers are going to crush the Lions, who clearly don't care at this point. I think the same thing might happen to Denver. I mean, that was embarrassing the way they performed at Oakland the other night. So why are they suddenly – they got a dead man walking at coach. I think the roster is going to get overhauled. The Chargers might not have anything to play for because – you know, look, Kansas City's not going to lose at home, so the game is not really that meaningful for the Chargers. I know technically they can still win the division, but Kansas City's not losing to the Raiders at home. But the Chargers might go in there and dust them off anyway. And so there's two. The most interesting game to me is, I guess it's the Colts and Titans because there's a playoff spot on the line, but I'm really fascinated by the Cleveland-Baltimore game because the Browns are playing such good football. But, and you know, the coaches come out and said, oh, this is our playoff game. And they're going to come to play. But they don't match up well with the Ravens. And I think Baltimore's going to get him. I know there's a lot of money showing on the dog in the game, but I'm going to kind of wait around and probably lay sixth at the finish line or maybe less than that with the Ravens.
If it plays out, how strange would it be? Bears-Vikings this week, Bears-Vikings next week.
Yeah, the Bears are going in there to try and win that game, though.
Yeah.
They're playing their regulars, and I don't know what's going to happen in that game. The Vikings, you know, they're pretty good at home. So there's definitely an edge there for Minnesota. I don't think I'd be laying that many points. I think it's got a chance to be a real close football game. And the Bears would love to knock them out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's a divisional rival. They would absolutely love to. I know it means they probably played Philly, but I don't think the Eagles scare anybody, to tell you the truth. So I think the Bears would love to win this. Don't know that they will, but I think the desire is going to be there.
Mm-hmm. I think it will be as well. Hey, Dave, Happy New Year to you and yours, and we'll talk to you next week. Look forward to it.
Sounds good, guys. Good luck to both the Iowa teams.
All right. Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it. Dave Koken joining us from Las Vegas. Check him out online at smokingkoken.com. At Dave Koken is the Twitter handle. We'll take a break, come back, check in with Tampa and Tom Kankert when we come back.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because at Lowe's, pros save big on bulk purchases of supplies and materials they use most, like 30% off select in-stock fiberglass insulation. While you're at it, you can also get up to 15% off select in-stock drywall accessories, and backer board when you buy in bulk. And our dedicated pro team is here to help you get it all loaded up and get you back on the job. So, pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's. Minimum purchase required. Selection varies by location. U.S. only.
It's time for some straight talk. I'm ready for it. You want the best coverage, right?
Of course. Don't want the QB throwing any deep bombs.
I'm talking about coverage on your smartphone, Wingo.
Oh, I get you now. I want the best nationwide coverage then.
Well, you'll get it with Straight Talk. The same great 4G LTE networks as the big guys for up to 30% less.
Man, you got to grab that deal and run with it.
Take it to the house.
With nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, get the Straight Talk $45 unlimited plan with 15 gigs of high-speed data. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Back with you in the gym class on KGYM on this Thursday. Texas Bowl coming up tonight. Duke's putting it on Temple right now. Miami and Wisconsin getting ready to kick it off in about 45 minutes from now in the Pinstripe Bowl. And one guy very happy that he's not in New York again this year joins us right now from Hawkeye Report, and that is Tom Kakert from sunny 79-degree Tampa, Florida. Is that accurate in the weather prognostication there, Tom?
It is. It's wonderful. I just noticed one of my Facebook memory things came up, and last year at this time, I was like the Wisconsin beat writers right now, except it was probably about 20 degrees colder than it is in New York City today in that frigid Yankee open-air press box. That no one feels sorry for media people for having to sit in the cold. And today I was walking around in shorts and a t-shirt with palm trees around me.
That's a big change.
That's sickening, really.
Hey, and I got a good thing for Dukes today. Tomorrow night they have the annual bowling challenge event at Blitzville. Between Iowa and Mississippi State, but apparently I was told today they canceled the team competition because last year South Carolina and Michigan actually got into a fight during the competition. Fight in a bowling alley.
That never happens, right? That never happens at bowling night in America.
No, nothing like that. We've never had to drop gloves or anything like that. So I hope that's not a precedent. So,
is there an ace bowler on the Iowa team, Tom? Do you know?
We were told that Tim Polasek, the offensive line coach and Wisconsin native, of course, is quite the bowler. So I'm hoping that he shows up tomorrow night.
Got to have one. On a team that big, you got to have somebody that can roll.
I want to see Epinesa bowl.
Well, any guy from Wisconsin, you know, he's probably a good bowler.
So Stanley should be a decent bowler then.
Yeah. The Wisconsin people do three things really well: eat cheese, drink beer, and bowl.
Yes. Tom Kakert joining us from Tampa. Well, how are preparations going for the Hawkeyes? Getting ready, obviously. We're still 5 days away or so from the actual game against Mississippi State. So starting to put the pedal to the metal, if you will. But how are things going?
Yeah, today was their first practice down here, actually. So the guys were pretty giddy about being in, obviously they've been practicing indoors, so it has been like they've been out in the cold. But they were liking the surroundings at they're practicing over at the University of Tampa, which does not have a football team. So they actually practice on what is a soccer stadium. And so they're just doing their drills, getting their work in. and we'll see how ready they are. You know, I'm still expecting a pretty strong defensive battle, and turnovers will be probably the key, and special teams will be awfully important as well.
A lot being made of Mississippi State's defense, and rightfully so. Does it remind you of any team Iowa has played in maybe the last couple of years?
We asked Brian Ferentz that today, and he said they're the best defense on film that he's seen all year. But then he quickly said, but I say that every week when I start watching film on the team we're playing. So, you know, I think they're really good. I mean, they've got, you know, several guys that are going to play in the NFL, the Simmons kid and the defensive tackles already declared for the draft. Montez Sweat, the defensive end, is really explosive off the edge. And they're good against the run. The Abram kid is super at safety, comes up good on run support. They, you know, but on the flip side, they're just really offensively challenged. They don't throw the ball very well. And traditionally, when Iowa has faced those kind of one-dimensional teams that just run the ball, they have done pretty well. I mean, the level of competition, not as good, but you look what they did against Illinois, who's a run-first team, and they throttled them. And you look at Maryland, who piled up a lot of really good run totals during the season, and they shut them out. So, and if you're looking for signs of hope from the Iowa side, it's that they've done well against teams that are really, really run-based.
I also believe that, and this is true in any football game, but getting out in front in this one is going to be pretty paramount. Make the other team try to catch up.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be huge in this game, because if you can kind of build that lead, and I think whichever team is able to establish any semblance of a ground game and play field position where punting will become important, and Iowa's punting game has been really pretty bad the last three games of the year. It wasn't Colton Rastetter, after a pretty good start to the year, was not as good late, and maybe it has something to do with cold weather. So, you know, hopefully with the 80-degree temps, he'll be able to punt the ball a little bit better. But they've got to try and win that field position battle against the Bulldogs.
I noticed Kirk Ferentz was asked today about not having Noah Fant and how they might change the game plan. And in regards to Fant, of course, he announced he's going to go to the NFL and not play in this bowl game. And season ending banquet, didn't win a single award. And I'm thinking, Tom, and you know this team as well as anybody, Iowa, I think, washed its hands of Noah Fant like 5 minutes after he decided.
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about that. I think if you followed the coaching career of Kirk Ferentz at Iowa, if you're done with Iowa, then they're going to kind of move on very quickly and find guys that and go with the guys that are here and playing. And, you know, we talked to Brian Ferentz a little bit today, too, just about how the offense might be a little bit different. And I think you might see a little bit more Amir Smith-Marset. You're definitely going to see more Nate Weeding. I think you're going to see more fullback than you've seen. They haven't used the fullback as much this year, but I think we'll see more Brady Ross out there in this bowl game, just because I think they want to try and run the football and establish that. But also, you know, I think in some of those three, you might see some Hockenson in the slot a little bit more than you had all year, where Fant had done a lot of that. I think you'll see TJ out there in the slot a little bit, kind of filling that role that Noah Fant had.
Well, it's interesting because you go from possibly the deepest position on the football team and two guys that are All-Americans to some serious questions about depth at the tight end spot going into this football game now.
Yeah, you do, because it's Nate Weeding and then it's Drew Cook, because you have to also remember Sean Byers out for the bowl game. And Brian Ferentz was singing his praises, too. I know he's a local guy for you guys, so you know, it's worth mentioning him, that Brian is very high on him. He talked about him as before he was hurt as a guy that was really, really coming along, wasn't getting much work, but still, the guy got to watch moving forward. That I think next year is going to have a golden opportunity. I think everybody's kind of assuming that Hockenson at this point is probably going to go chase some money and make a living playing football instead of playing in college.
It sounds like he and others that may pursue the NFL or have, in terms of evaluations, have heard back, but nobody's going to announce anything right away after the bowl game, it doesn't sound like.
Yeah, that's what TJ told us today, that he said, I just don't think I want to kind of get back and talk to some more people, but I think he's, certainly got a big decision to make. Kirk said that last week those guys got back their NFL evaluations, and then he kind of shot me down asking about that because he had kind of told us they don't want to talk about the NFL stuff when we were back in Iowa City last week. So, but I think from what we've heard, Monty Hooker and Anthony Nelson both got pretty positive evaluations from NFL people that would make it so they could potentially not make a bad decision if they went to the NFL.
They'll have choices to make, and that's always what you want. Tom Caker joining us live from Tampa here on this edition of the Gym Class, the Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Of course, Tom with Hawkeye Report. I wanted to ask you, we haven't talked to you since the position changes have been announced. Tyler Linderbaum going to center. To me, anyway, it puts up a gigantic green flag that Tyler Linderbaum may be a center for 3 years for this Iowa football team. Do you get that, or am I just jumping things?
No, in fact, he might be the center for 4 years because he's going to retain his red shirt, even if he plays in this bowl game, because he'll have played in – if he plays in the bowl game, he'd play in four games this year, and so he'd keep his red shirt. So I don't think there's any question right now that he's the odds-on favorite to be the starting center next year for Iowa. They'll keep Colt Banwart at guard, and he'll kind of serve as the backup center in case of emergency. But talking to Brian Ferentz today and to Kirk a little bit about him, they're both really pleased with what they've seen from him. And I was talking to Tristan Wirfs about it too, and he and Tristan competed against each other in high school, and he's really impressed with what he's seen. And I got to relive some of those with Tristan, some of those wrestling matches that Linderbaum and Wirfs had at the prep level, and including the last one where Linderbaum pinned Wirfs at the state duels.
One side talked a lot about it. The other side didn't talk a lot about it, did they?
Well, we can't talk to Tyler about it. So
true. That is true.
He's still off limits to us. At least a little bit longer.
Where do they have that hay bale throw? Solon Beef Days, or is that in Mount Vernon?
That's Solon Beef Days.
Okay, all right. Probably
yeah,
both of one.
That's Solon. That's a big event, Solon at Beef Days.
Tom, 5 days out, what are the keys to this game from the Iowa perspective?
I think offensively, they have to try and establish the run. I don't think that's going to be easy. But the biggest thing they have to do is not turn the ball over. I think a turnover in a short field is just going to be death for either team in this game, because both defenses are pretty good, and I don't think much of Mississippi State's offense at this point. It's pretty much Nick Fitzgerald running the ball, and that's about it. So I just think turnovers, field position, punting, all the little things are just going to be so important for both ball clubs in this game, especially for Iowa, because that's kind of their bread and butter, is they like to play the field position game. So they're going to need to come up with some plays on defense, I think, to try and get them in a good spot for some short fields.
In terms of containing Mississippi State, is it that 4-2-5 alignment that we've seen this year? Phil Parker really married into that?
Yeah, that's going to be we'll get to talk to Phil tomorrow, but my sense is that Phil wants to stick with that because it's worked for him. And the other thing it does is it allows him to get Geno Stone on the field. And I think that's part of the reason why he wants to do that so much is that if he doesn't, then Hooker's back there with Gervais and Geno Stone's on the sidelines. And I think he's made the mathematical equation that having Stone out there, who's a really good playmaker, is better than having another one of his linebackers that, out there like a Neiman or somebody like that. Or I think he's just kind of evaluated it at that level, but it's just better for him to have Hooker in there. And as long as he can hold up and not get washed out by some of the offensive linemen, I think it's a good decision.
And then he'll turn around and go quickly into basketball once again. And I got to think the most critical game of this season so far comes real quick in West Lafayette at Mackey Arena. Yeah. Iowa can't go 0-3.
Yeah, I just look at it like the next three games. I'm looking past Bryant. I know that's a scary thing to do. What are they like in the Ken Palm rankings? They're like 340 or something.
They're not any worse than Savannah State was.
I think they would probably beat Savannah State, but that might be about it. But yeah, you look at Nebraska coming to Iowa City, and Nebraska is pretty good, at least, in terms of their starting lineup, and that's a potential NCAA team. And then they go to Northwestern. I think Iowa's got to get at least two of those three and maybe all three if they're going to, I think, have a realistic shot at the NCAA tournament. And two of those three are on the road. So it's a really big stretch starting out for Iowa in the Big Ten, because they're in a hole right now. 0-2 is a pretty significant hole. And if you're sitting at 1-4, you're pretty much cooked. And then you look at the back end of their schedule, they go to Nebraska and Wisconsin to wrap up. So if you're going to get to, like, say, 500 in the Big Ten, get 10 wins with the 20-game schedule, you got to win 10 of the next 16. And that's a tall order against Big Ten teams this year, because the league is really pretty good.
Looking forward to that bowling report tomorrow, Tom. Appreciate it, man.
I'll take plenty of pictures and put them up on social media just for you.
Thank you, Tom.
Hopefully no fights. Michigan ruins everything for us, don't
I know. No. I blame Harbaugh for everything that goes wrong in the world.
We're just kidding, Wolverine.
Just a heads
fans.
Up, Bramo Camp's on his way in a couple days, okay?
Yeah, I know. I got the bars open. We're ready to go. Okay.
Yeah, alert your buddy down there. I mean, that's he's happy to see you.
Oh, yeah, John's already – I alerted John right away that Todd will be down on
that. All right. Hey, Tom, safe travels back. Have fun, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Take care, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Tom Caker of HawkeyeReport.com joining us here. We'll take a break, come back, wrap her up after this.
You've been honing your group of friends for a long time, selecting and keeping the ones who add flavor to life and leaving the rest behind. Quality over quantity, always. The same way Third Base has been refining our brews for the past 20 years. Maybe that's the reason good friends come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in over the holidays. Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
And accepting the award for his department is, Dave.
This award means so much to me and everyone. From the interns we don't pay to the folks in legal handling my harassment suits, one very special person made this award possible, and that's me. Does that play out music?
Don't work for a Dave. Find a boss you can respect. One who's looking for great and local talent at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Play football.
Play quarterback.
Check, Blue 89!
Alexa, play KGYM.
Play baseball.
Play shortstop.
Alexa, play KGYM.
Play volleyball.
Play the net.
Alexa, play KGYM.
Your smart speaker is your home radio now, so just say, Alexa, play KGYM to listen to The Gym Class, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, or Area High School and College Sports. Play ball! Play KGYM.
Back with you at 3:57, Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way next. Tomorrow it's the Alamo Bowl. We'll check in with Rob Gray from Cyclone Fanatic down in San Antonio. Interesting part of that game coming up tomorrow is the fact you could have former teammates battling one another. Former Washington Warriors going at it. Dallas Hobbs plays for Washington State. Could be going up against former teammate Julian Good-Jones for the Iowa State Cyclones. How interesting would that be?
Dallas hasn't played a whole lot this year. He's a redshirt freshman defensive end, son of Darryl Hobbs, a former Iowa player. Interesting. Renewing acquaintances at the very least.
They will run into each other several times before the bowl game, I'm sure, at the various get-togethers that they have. Hopefully no bowling and no fisticuffs or anything like that. I can't believe that. We had bowling fisticuffs. Coming up tomorrow, we mentioned Rob Gray. We'll also have the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 coming your way tomorrow. We'll pick the Alamo Bowl. Looking forward to that. Texas Bowl tonight. Have a great night. See you tomorrow.
You as well.
All right. This has been the Gym Class right here at KGYM.
Getting knocked down on the football field makes you tough. But getting back up makes you tougher. At Goodyear, we call that determination. A willingness to